Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Yom Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're on Sechus Psachim, Daf Kuf Beis, the 10th Perek, Arvei Psachim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in the Braisa, Chaverim Sheyim Mesubim, Chaverim who were reclining, meaning dining together, and they uprooted themselves to go to the Beis Knesses or to the Beis Midrash. When they leave, they're not required to recite a bracha achrona on what they had previously eaten, and when they return, they're not required to recite a bracha rishona before continuing to eat. Rav Yehuda disagrees and said, when are these words said? When they left some chaverim there. But if they disbanded completely and didn't leave some chaverim there, when they leave, they're required to recite a bracha achrona on what they had previously eaten, and when they return, they are required to recite a bracha rishona before continuing to eat. Point number two, we learn on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph that according to Yossi, someone who is eating a meal, when it became Shabbos, may continue to eat without interrupting for Kiddush. Here the Gemara cites a Braisa that teaches that according to Rabbi Yossi, when the person eventually finishes his meal, he should say Birchas HaMazon over one cup of wine, and then Kiddush over another. The Gemara asks why Birchas HaMazon and Kiddush cannot both be said over the same cup. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak explains, Lefi she'ein osim mitzvos chavilos chavilos, because we do not do mitzvos in bundles. The Rashbam explains that someone who does this indicates that the mitzvos are burdensome for him. Now, the Gemara challenges this based on a braisa that teaches that someone who does not have a second cup of wine should say Birchas HaMazon and Havdalah on the same cup. The Gemara answers, Ein lo sha'ani, a situation in which he doesn't have a second cup is an exception to the general rule that mitzvah should not be performed in bundles. And point number three, the Gemara continues to challenge the rule that Ein osi mitzvahs chavilos chavilos, that we don't do mitzvahs in bundles, noting that when Yom Tov falls on Motzei Shabbos, Kiddush and Havdalah are said over the same cup of wine, even on the first night of Yom Tov, when one certainly has more than one cup of wine. The Rashbam explains that the assumption that one has multiple cups of wine on the first night of Yom Tov is based on the Mishnah, which taught that even the poorest Jew must be given four cups of wine on the first night of Pesach. So the Gemara answers, Havdalah v'kiddush chada milsihi. Havdalah and Kiddush are one thing, so there's therefore nothing wrong with saying both of these over a single cup of wine. The Rashbam explains that both Havdalah and Kiddush are based on the Kedusha of the Yom Tov, and the Kedusha of the incoming Yom Tov is even mentioned in the wording of Havdalah. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, it was taught in a braisa, chaverim sheyim usubim, chaverim, who were reclining, meaning dying together, va'akru raglehem leilech, l'beis Knesses or beis Midrash, and they uproot themselves to go to the beis Knesses or to the beis Midrash. When they leave, they're not required to recite a bracha achrona on what they'd previously eaten, and when they return, they're not required to recite a bracha rishona before they continue to eat. Rav Yehuda disagrees and says, b'med v'mamorim, when were these words said? V'zman she'nichu sham mixes chaverim, when they left some chaverim there. But if they disbanded completely and did not leave some chaverim there, when they leave, they are required to recite a bracha achrona on what they had previously eaten, and when they return, they are required to recite a bracha rishona before they continue to eat. Point number two, we learned on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph that according to Rabbi Yossi, someone who is eating a meal when it became Shabbos may continue to eat without interrupting for Kiddush. Here the Gemara cites a braisa that teaches that according to Rabbi Yossi, when the person eventually finishes his meal, he should say Birchas HaMazon over one cup of wine and then Kiddush over another. The Gemara asks why Birchas HaMazon and Kiddush cannot both be said over the same cup. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak explains, Lefi she'ein osi mitzvos chavilos chavilos, because we do not do mitzvos in bundles. The Rashbam explains that someone who does this indicates that mitzvos are burdensome for him. Now the Gemara challenges this based on a braisa that teaches that someone who does not have a second cup of wine should say Birchas HaMazon and Havdalah on the same cup. And the Gemara answers, Ein lo sha'ani, a situation in which he doesn't have a second cup is an exception to the general rule that mitzvah should not be performed in bundles. And point number three, the Gemara continues to challenge the rule that Ein osi mitzvos chavilos chavilos, noting that when Yom Tov falls on Motzei Shabbos, Kiddush and Havdalah are said over the same cup of wine, even on the first night of Yom Tov, when one certainly has more than one cup of wine. The Rashbam explains that the assumption that one has multiple cups of wine on the first night of Yom Tov is based on the Mishnah, which taught that even the poorest Jew must be given four cups of wine on the first night of Pesach. So the Gemara answers, Havdalah v'kiddush chada milsihi. Havdalah and Kiddush are one thing, so there's therefore nothing wrong with saying both of these over a single cup of wine. The Rashbam explains that both Havdalah and Kiddush are based on the Kiddush of the Yom Tovim, and the Kiddush of the incoming Yom Tov is even mentioned in the wording of Havdalah. All right, so now we go to our Simur Daf Kuf Beis, and this simur comes to us by way of Moshe Raps from Yerushalayim, Yisrael Olsberg from Ramat Beit Shemesh, and Nathaniel Jacob from Great Neck, New York, who all suggested Kuf Beis is a caveman. Caveman, and sometimes we use a cave. So here goes. The chaverim in the cave, who remained at the table while their friends went to daven, unbundled two cups, one for Birchas HaMazon and the other for Kiddush, leaving a third cup for Yom Tov Motzei Shabbos to be used for Havdalah and Kiddush. Once again, it's slow motion. The chaverim in the cave, that must be more on Daf Kuf Beis. The chaverim in the cave who remained at the table while their friends went to daven, which reminds us that there's a machlokes between the Tanakh and Rabbi Yehuda if members of a group that were eating together left the table Well, they have to make a bracha chrona when they leave and a bracha rishona when they return. The Tanakhama says they do not, and Rav Yehuda says they do not only if they had left some members at the table. So the chaverim in the cave who remained at the table while their friends went to daven unbundled two cups, one for birchas and mazon, and the other for kiddush. Which reminds us that we had learned before that according to Rabbi Yossi, someone who was eating a meal when it became Shabbos may continue to eat without interrupting for Kiddush. The Gemara cites a brisa that teaches that according to Rabbi Yossi, when the person eventually finishes his meal, he should say Birchas Hamazon over one cup of wine and then Kiddush over another. The Gemara asks why Birchas Hamazon and Kiddush cannot both be said over the same cup. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak explains, L'fishein osi mitzvos chavilos chavilos, because we do not do mitzvahs in bundles. The Rashbam explains that someone who does this indicates that mitzvahs are burdensome for him. So the chaverim in the cave who remained at the table while their friends went to daven unbundled two cups, one for birchas and mazon and the other for kiddush, leaving a third cup for yantiv motzi shabbos to be used for havdalah and kiddush. Which reminds the Gemara challenged the rule of ein osim mitzvos chavilos chavilos, noting that when yantiv falls on motzi shabbos, kiddush and havdalah are said over the same cup of wine, even on the first night of yantiv when one certainly has more than one cup of wine. The Gemara answers, Havdalah and Kiddush chadam milsihi. Havdalah and Kiddush are one thing, so there is therefore nothing wrong with saying both of these over a single cup of wine. The Rashbam explains that both Havdalah and Kiddush are based on the Kedusha of the Yom Tovim, and the holiness of the incoming Yantav is even mentioned in the wording of Havdalah. So once again, the Chaverim in the cave, who remained at the table while their friends went to Davin, unbundled two cups, one for Birchas and Mazon, and the other for Kiddush, leaving a third cup for Yantav Motzi Shabbos to be used for Havdalah and Kiddush. All right, now it's time for a four blah bah chazor. Dav Tzadiches. So the simmer Dav Tzadiches is clowns. Schok, clowns. Here goes. The clowns. That must mean we're on Dav Tzadiches. Schok. The clowns at the Chol HaMoed Pesach Circus had the crowd in stitches as they first attempted to designate a two-year-old female sheep as a Pesach, which reminds us the Mishnah on Dav Tzadi Zayin Amabey stated, HaMafish Nekevu Epischo Ozarcha Ben Shtei Shanim, if someone designates a female animal for his Pesach or a male in its second year, it's left to graze until it develops a blemish, is then sold, and he brings from its money shlamim. Neither of these are fit for a Pesach, as the Torah specifies a Zachar ben Shana, a yearling male. Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua said, Shema min atras, infer from this ruling three principles. Balei chayim nidchim, we can infer that living things can become permanently rejected from the Mizbeach. Dichui mikar habi dichui, even if the animal is disqualified from the very first moment of its consecration, such as female or overage animals, it can never again be fit for a sacrifice. And yesh dichui badami, permanent rejection is possible with something that only has monetary sanctity, and since these animals were unfit, they only have kedushas damim and yet are rejected forever. So the clowns at the Chol HaMoed Pesach Circus had the crowd in stitches as they first attempted to designate a two-year-old female sheep as a Pesach, and then pranked one chabur by putting a bechor in the mix. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nisara bebechoros, if a Pesach became intermingled with bechor offerings, Rabbi Shimon says, Im chaburos kohanim yochelu, if the group registered on the Pesach is composed of only kohanim, they may eat the offerings that night, since the avoda for the Pesach and the bechor are the same. The Gemara clarifies that Rabbi Shimon holds, Mavin kachim besa psul, that one may expose karbanis to a situation of becoming pasul. Therefore, it's not a problem that the bechor, which is typically eaten for 2 days and one night, will have its time to be eaten reduced and needlessly become nosar after midnight. So the clowns of the Chol HaMoed Pesach Circus had the crowd in stitches as they first attempted to designate a two-year-old female sheep as a Pesach, and then pranked one chabur by putting a bechor in the mix while helping a Pesach from another chabur escape so they could tease the member who was sent out to find it. Which reminds us, the last Mishnah opens Chabur She'avid Pischa, a chabur that lost its Pesach, and they said to one of the members to go out, find it, and shecht it for us. And he went, found, and shechted it. And meanwhile, they, fearing the animal would not be found in time, bought and slaughtered another animal. The Mishnah goes through the various possibilities of the case and what the din is, if his was shechted first, or theirs was shechted first, or they don't know whose was shechted first, or they're both shechted at the same time. Dav Tzadites. So the simmer Dav Tzadites is a cheetah. So here goes. When a cheetah, that must mean we're on Dav Tzadites. When a cheetah suddenly appeared, the entire chabura withdrew, except for one brave member. Which reminds us, the Gemara suggested that the Mishnah, which allows registering strangers in order to avoid the problem of leaving the Pesach ownerless, is not in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the registrants may continue withdrawing from the Pesach and diminishing the number of people registered on it, provided that one of the original group remains registered. Rabbi Yochanan answered that you can even say that the Mishnah does accord with Rabbi Yehuda, since Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ein shochin is a pesach al yachid." We do not shech the pesach for a single individual. Therefore, in the case of the Mishnah, where there's only one person being registered on it, there stands to be another person registered on it together with the original person, uke echem b'nei chabur dami, and therefore the newcomer is like one of the original members of the group. So when a cheetah suddenly appeared, the entire chabura withdrew, except for one brave member, who developed quite an appetite, Erev Pesach, which reminds us the first mission the 10th Perek states, on Erev Pesach from close to Mincha, one may not eat until nightfall. And the Rosh Hashanah explains that not eating then will enable a person to eat the matzah at night with an appetite. The Gemara asks why our mission implies that this halach is specific to Erev Pesach, but Brisa teaches that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that one may not eat after Mincha on any Erev Shabbos or Yontav. Rav Huna answers that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who generally permits eating on Erev Shabbos and Yontav. So when a cheetah suddenly appeared, the entire chabura withdrew, except for one brave member, who developed quite an appetite Erev Pesach. While on the lookout for an ani, he could give 4 cups of wine and a recliner too. Which reminds us, the Mishnah states, Afil ani shebi Yisrael lo yochal ad sheyatsev, and even the poorest man in Yisrael may not eat until he reclines, and they must not give him less than 4 cups of wine, and this is so even if he's supported from the Tamchui. The Rashbam explains that it's incumbent on the community to ensure that the poor can fulfill this Rabban mitzvah. In the event that the Gabbai stuck and neglected or were unable to give them wine, the paupers must do their utmost to fulfill the mitzvah, even to the point of selling their clothing, borrowing, or hiring themselves out. Dav Kuf. So the Simmer Dav Kuf is a monkey. So here goes. The circus monkeys. Monkeys, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf. The circus monkeys were trained to let people continue eating a meal they began before Mincha Erev Shabbos, which reminds us, as Malchuk's, whether someone who began a meal before Mincha on Erev Shabbos is allowed to continue eating after Shabbos begins. Rav Yehuda maintains, Mapsikim Shabbosos, we interrupt for Shabbosos. Rabbi Yossi argues, Ei Mapsikim, we do not interrupt. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the person must stop the meal, remove the table, and recite Birchas Hamazon. The reason is that a meal must be brought to the table for the honor of Shabbos, or because the eating after nightfall would be viewed as an extension of the weekday meal. Tosos explained, according to Rabbi Yossi, he need not interrupt the meal, for the eating after nightfall is considered one of the Shabbos meals. The Kiddush that would be recited immediately afterwards is viewed as having been recited upon that meal. The Gemara relates to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi were once eating meal together when Shabbos began. A discussion ensued about whether they should interrupt the meal or not, and eventually, Ozazim Hashem ad shekabu halacha, Rabbi Yossi. They did not move from there until they established the halacha, according to Rabbi Yossi. So the circus monkeys, who were trained to let people continue eating a meal, they began before Mincha Erev Shabbos, and knew to cover the table with a cloth before Kiddush, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, Eim Mavinas HaShulchan El Imkin Kiddush. We do not bring out the table on which the Friday night meal will be eaten unless one already made Kiddush. Imhevi Poros Mapu Makadosh. And if it was brought out early, you should spread out a cloth over it and make Kiddush. Rashbam, citing the She'otos, explains that bringing out the table after Kiddush shows that the meal is served in honor of Shabbos, and covering the table is like removing it. Tosos note that nowadays, where it's customary for everybody to eat together on a large table, it's not practical to bring the table out after Kiddush. Therefore, it's our custom to set the table with chalas before Kiddush, but to cover them until after Kiddush. So the circus monkeys, who were trained to let people continue eating a meal they began before Mincha Erev Shabbos, and knew to cover the table with a cloth before Kiddush, would throw bananas at anyone who tried to start a meal before Mincha Erev Pesach. Which reminds us, on Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara brought up machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi regarding beginning a meal during the afternoon on Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontav. Here the Gemara cites 2 brises about this machlokes. One of them teaches, Shavin She'ei Maschilin, they are in agreement that we may not begin. And the second one stated, Shavin She'maschilin, they are in agreement that we may begin. And the Gemara explained that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi agree that we may not begin a meal on Erev Pesach, close to Mincha, as the first mission of the Perek taught, and they agree that we may begin a meal Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontav before the 9th hour. Of the day. Daf Kuf Aleph. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Aleph is a bird caller going, caw, caw. So here goes. After Kiddush was recited in Shul at the Bird Caller's Convention, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Aleph. After Kiddush was recited in Shul at the Bird Caller's Convention, participants made Kiddush b'makom Suda, which reminds us, the Gemara brings machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about the Kiddush that was customarily made by the Shulich Tzibor and the Beis Knesses on Friday night, whether one has fulfilled his Kiddush obligation. Rav says one does fulfill his chiv, and Rashbam explains the Rav holds that it's not necessary for Kiddush to be recited together with the Shabbos meal. And Shmuel says one has not fulfilled his chiv because he holds Ein Kiddush el b'makom Suda. Kiddush is only a place where there's a meal. The Rashbam explains that Shmuel derives this principle from the pasuk Karasu Shabbos Onik, and you should proclaim the Shabbos ad delight. In the place where Shabbos is proclaimed, meaning where Kiddush is recited, there should be delight, meaning the Shabbos meal. Alternatively, since Kiddush must be recited over wine, it's fitting that it be recited over wine, drunk at a meal. So after Kiddush was recited in Shul at the Bird Caller's Convention, participants made Kiddush, b'makom Suda, and then fluttered around the corners of the room meeting each other without making another bracha, which reminds us that Rav and Shmuel both taught that someone who makes Kiddush in the Beis Knesses must say a new bracha before drinking wine at home. The Gemara supports this from a brisa that states, Shinui makom sarach avarach, shinui yain ein sarach avarach. If there's a change in location, one must say a new bracha. If there's a change in wine, one need not say a new bracha. Rav Chissa says in the name Rav Huna that a change of location creates a new bracha requirement only if one went mabayis labayis, from one house to another, and not if one went mamakam mamakam, from one place to another, within the house. So after Kiddush was recited in the shul at the Bird Callers Convention, participants made Kiddush, B'makom Suda, and then flooded around the corners of the room, meeting each other without making another bracha, with the intent to fly back and conclude their meal in their original setting. Which reminds us, Rav Chisda adds, that a change of location does not create a new bracha rishona requirement if the bracha was said over Dvarim Hatu'unim Bracha L'Acharen B'mkoman, things that need a bracha achrona in their place, that is, where the food was eaten, because someone who eats a food of this type, L'kiva Kamahadar, returns to his original setting. The Rashbam explains that he's continuing with his original meal. Since he's obligated to return to his original place to recite a bracha achrona, or to continue his meal in a second place, which will enable him to recite the bracha achrona there, his leaving does not constitute a conclusion of the meal. Rather, what he eats in the second place is seen as a continuation of his meal. Rav Sheshes disagrees and says that these foods are also subject to the lachas of Shinui Makom. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos Shabbos Ne'erava. Number 1. Which Dafti B'Malchus Rav Chisda Rav Sheshes, whether foods that require bracha achrona in their place require bracha rishona when there's a Shinui Makom? That's on Daf Kufalf. Good. Number 2. Which Dafti B'Malchus Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi, whether one must interrupt a meal he began Erev Shabbos when Shabbos begins? That's on Daf Kuf. Good. Number 3. Which Dafti when the one makes Kiddush and Havdalah on the same cup of wine when Yantav is Motzi Shabbos because Kiddush v'Havdalah Chada Milsehi? That's on Daf Kuf Beis. Good. Number 4. Which Dafti we have the long Mishnah detailing all the cases where the Chabura loses its Pesach and they send one of the members to go out and find it and shacht it on their behalf? That's on Daf Tzadiches. Good. Number 5. Which Dafti when according to Rabbi Yossi one makes Birchas Amazon and Kiddush on two separate cups because Ein Osi Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos? That's on Daf Kuf Beis. Good. Number 6. Which Dafti we learn from the case of a Pesach mixed in with Bechoros that Rabbi Shimon holds Mevin Kachim Vesa Psul? That's on Daf Tzadiches. Good. Number 7. Which Dafti we have Malchokas on a common Yehuda whether people eating together need to leave people at the table in order for other members to go and daven without making a bracha when they leave and having to make a bracha rishon when they come back? That's on Daf Kuf Beis. Good. Number 8. Which Daf do you learn that one needs to make a new bracha for a shinui makom from bias to bias, but not from one makom to another in the same house? That's on Daf Kufalf. Good. Number 9. Which Daf do you learn that on Erev Pesach close to mincha one may not eat in order that they develop an appetite to eat matzah? That's on Daf Study test. Good. And number 10, which Dafti of Malchokas Rav and Shmuel whether there's a chiyuv of Kiddush b'makom Suda? That's on Daf Kufalf. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1, which Dafti we learn that there are cases when one would speak after making a motzi? That's on Daf Mem and Brachas. Good. Number 2, which Dafti we discuss measuring the tchum by a town that lives by a ravine? That's on Daf Samachalf and Erevin. Good. And number 3, which Daf do we learn about the Tachash? That's on Daf Chafches and Shabbos. Excellent. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldin Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.